Julia Chikamaneka. So I'll tell you a little bit of a story about Julia Chikamaneka and Alice Tenshina. So Julia Chikamaneka is what you'd consider what a sweetheart to the political party that took Zambia into independence. And her most prominent memory is that she had stripped in the street in protest of the new constitution that had come from the colonial government to rule the country. And she stripped in protest of that, and history says she walked up there and she slapped him and she walked back. But that's all we know about her. And eventually she died and they called her Mama Unipa, but again, that's all we know about her, and she got erased. But she was still like a sweetheart of the political party, which is something that I was interested in. Like, she was a sweetheart, but they erased her. But then to kind of also understand, I also knew that some people are erased because, well, they're not sweethearts of the government. On the northern side of the country, at the same time that Julia Chikamaneka and her people were fighting, was a woman called Alice Lenshina. Now, she was against colonial government, but she was also against the Zambian government, the Zambian political party that was going to come in. So she said she had died, and she went to God, and God told her that she must come and get rid of everything that was evil, including witchcraft and colonialism. And when the government was going into power, they needed a lot of people to vote for them so that they'll win, because they'll win by majority vote. And by the time she comes back and says, oh, I went to God and I'm a prophetess now and I'm all these things, they're like, ah, she won't do anything. But eventually she gains a whole bunch of followers, like 60, 70,000, and they need all these people to vote for them. And when she says, no, I don't trust the colonial government, but you as well, I don't know. I don't trust you either. So they have to control her or get the people to vote for her. So what they do is they get up at dawn and they shoot. First morning, 700 people, women and children, dead on the spot. And she surrenders and they arrest her. 3 months later, the country gains independence. After independence, she's taken in and out of jail, so that her quality of life is deteriorated until a point when she dies. And when she dies, they actually do go to the archives and remove her immediately from the archives. And so to work into those narratives, I figured I'd work with the idea of death literally, like as a metaphor. So the body dying away or the body getting erased and the blurring lines between death and life. Because there's a thing about these narratives getting erased completely, but they're not completely erased. There's always traces or like bits and parts of these stories, or the stories are retold in a way that they become something else. They become different representations of themselves. So they're alive, they die, and then they kind of get alive as a different representation of what they originally were. So these two bodies of work, these two pieces you're seeing right now, this one is an image of a body in a morgue. When you pull down the body, it's a body that we're almost viewing it upside down, right? And the body is, it's not gooey and scary, but you know, you can see it, it's a body and it's dead and you have the thing that covers it and stuff. And I work with a lot of foreign materials onto the canvas, primarily canvas, plastic, and fabric, usually of any sort. With this piece, coming to the fountainhead, I could not, you know, instead of working with that fabric, because I didn't bring enough of it, I decided to kind of use the fabric as well, the canvas in itself, to work with it and incorporate it into the painting. So that would be the cloth that covers the body when it's on the mug there. And I like it because it kind of gives like a sculpture element, but without being too sculpture, like the pieces. You know, it makes the full image. You get the image once I explain it. It's subtle, but it has the strength of saying that it is a reference of a body. And with this one over there is the idea, again, with the blurred lines between life and death and life after death, that whole triptych thing. To paint this one, I started it out like that. And I used Mario as a model. Mario is an artist that was here as a resident. So I drew it up that way, and the process of painting this one was I used a lot of linseed oil to get the drips that came this way. So I paint a solid color, then drip, and then it cracks, it shatters once you do the technique, and then unload it and put it flat. It was on the floor over there to kind of get the face and the other parts of it. And then it was over here to get the stitches in. And like the whole top part of those black lines is stitches. If you go close to it, you will see.
Greater.
To see.
Great.
Stunning.
I love it. I think it's amazing.
Any questions for Greg?
No.